The following content is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, enjoy articles to help you improve your green thumb. And now, here's NCRS volunteer Cindy Fowler.
We'll start with the Raleigh News and Observer. This article is by Jessica Damiano. Mulch, leaf mold, compost. Best way to use those autumn leaves. Leaves of yellow, red, orange, and green color the autumn landscape with their vibrant, dramatic hues, compelling us to pull on soft, warm sweaters, pour a mug of hot cider, and curl up with a good book. But when they leave their branchy homes and gently sway to the ground, the compulsion to grab a rake and head outdoors for hours of back-breaking labor erases the tranquility almost immediately. Why not just let them be? For starters, if left in place until spring, those leaves will smother your lawn, depriving it of sunlight and air. And when the soggy, matted debris is cleared away, you'll be left with dead patches that require reseeding. And that's the best-case scenario. Diseases like snow mold and brown patch and all sorts of fungi thrive between leaf and lawn, and you'll find dealing with the aftermath is even more burdensome than raking would have been. But there is one way you can leave your leaves and have your lawn, too. Mulch them! This is easier than it sounds, as it simply requires running your lawnmower over the leaves to shred them into little bits. Those bits will work their way between grass blades to the soil line, where they'll gradually decompose and even add nutrients to improve the health of your turf. If there's too many to leave on the lawn, you can run the mower over them and move the resulting mulch to your garden beds, where they'll serve the same function. Mulching leaves isn't only easier than raking, it's more environmentally sound. Bagged up yard debris adds nearly 33 million tons of solid waste to U.S. landfills each year. And its decomposition under those conditions, without adequate oxygen, can result in a release of methane gas, which tends to heat up when exposed to sunlight, and can result in a too warm atmosphere, and that's not good for plants, wildlife, or us. Another problem by ignoring your leaves is that many would be carried away by wind to our waterways, where they'd release excess nutrients and throw the whole ecosystem out of balance. If you are not inclined to chop up leaves with your lawnmower, you might consider making leaf mold, an organic soil amendment and mulch, especially useful in sandy soils due to its high moisture content. Simply create a pile of leaves, water it lightly, and cover loosely with a tarp. Visit it once or twice over the winter, stirring it up a bit. Come spring, you'll have partially decomposed nutrient-rich matter to add to garden beds and borders, or to sieve through steel mesh and add to potting mix. True leaf mold takes at least a year to develop, but this quick version will continue to break down after it's applied. It's almost like a shortcut to compost. Cooking up compost. Speaking of compost, that's another lovely use for autumn leaves. Compost is the single best additive available for improving any type of soil. It improves the water retention of sandy soil, improves the drainage of clay, and imparts a bounty of nutrients. It's no wonder gardeners call it black gold. There are two components that make up compost: nitrogen-rich greens, such as fresh grass clippings, coffee grounds, and fruit and vegetable scraps, and carbon-rich browns, such as newspapers, twigs, dryer lint, and all those autumn leaves. The best compost is composed of a ratio of 3 parts browns to 1 part greens. Never include fats. like meat or fish table scraps, dairy products, oils, etc. Disease plants or weeds that have gone to seed in your pile. And never add materials that do not decompose, such as plastic or glass. Bird and rabbit droppings and horse manure are okay, but kitty litter and dog poop are not. As a rule of thumb, excrement from carnivores is off limits. To cook up a batch of compost, you'll need a place to do it. Options range from just piling up compost ingredients in a far corner of the backyard to homemade contraptions that can be as utilitarian as a circular chicken wire pin staked into the ground, to purchased bins or tumblers that can cost anywhere from $50 to $500, depending on how fancy you want to get. Add your brown and green ingredients, keep the pile slightly moist, sprinkle lightly with a hose whenever you add to it or notice it drying out. You can add to it all year long. As ingredients break down, bacteria will heat the center of the pile first, so it is important to mix or turn the heap regularly to ensure even decomposition. This can be done with a pitchfork or garden spade or an open pile. Tumblers have a crank or weighted design that requires less exertion, but depending on the size and design of the unit, it still might require some muscle. Finished compost can be added to new garden beds or vegetable plots about a month before planting, sprinkled over the lawn and gently raked in, added by the handful to planting holes. And now from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. There is no better way to bring people together than with desserts. That was said by Gail Simmons. Grow your medicine cabinet. Plants That Heal by Laura Levitt. Why buy more pills and syrups when you can grow all natural remedies at home? Try cultivating these plants in your indoor garden this winter. All natural remedies are garnering more and more interest these days, so it only makes sense that winter gardeners are looking for ways to make their gardens do double duty as medicine cabinets and beautiful, healthy displays of plants. By choosing the right varieties and knowing how and when to use them, you can guarantee that something on your windowsill will help you maintain your standard level of health and treat various mild ailments safely. Of course, including these plants in your garden does not guarantee you'll instantly cure complex medical conditions, but in appropriate doses, each one of them has been proven to have a significant positive effect on different aspects of a person's health. While most of them are common, it's still possible to have allergies to some of these varieties or experience skin irritation when touching them. So check with your doctor before bringing any of them into your home. Aloe vera. This succulent is one of the most popular medicinal plants among home gardeners, mostly because it's fairly easy to care for. If you break off a small stem from this plant, the juice can be used to treat minor burns, rashes, and even some forms of dermatitis. The fact that aloe vera has these anti-inflammatory properties is the reason why you can often find soothing gels infused with it, most commonly used to treat sunburns. Still, you can cut out those extra ingredients by using the juice from your own fresh aloe plants. Burdock. Greater burdock, in particular, is known for its woody roots, which have been brewed into medicinal teas for many years now. More specifically, this tea has been known to purify the blood, relieve arthritis-related aches and pains, and combat cancer. Growing it from seed is possible indoors, and while its flavor is rather bittersweet, the benefits speak for themselves. Think of it as a similar option to dandelion tea, which itself is more frequently available during the summer when dandelions run rampant outdoors. Lavender. Lavender emits a heavenly perfume, but when it's distilled to create an essential oil, it has many health benefits to offer. The smell is thought to ease anxiety, relieve some of the symptoms of depression, and even combat hair loss. Keeping the plant itself in your home can create a calming atmosphere, and making some homemade lavender oil might be just the thing to pep you up this winter. Purslane. Although it's generally regarded as an outdoor weed, one particular variety of purslane is quite the amazing edible plant. Many people say it tastes like spinach, and its health benefits range from improving urinary and digestive health to promoting healthier skin. It can be grown indoors from cuttings, which is especially advised if you want to grow a small pot of it to transplant outdoors when warmer weather arrives. Purslane is also sometimes fried for a savory twist on an otherwise healthy leafy green. Peppermint. Peppermint has a slew of health benefits, from alleviating irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, to helping with upper respiratory illnesses like cold and flu. Peppermint tea can make for an energizing alternative to a caffeinated beverage, and the plant itself can be distilled into a potent oil that retains many of its nutrients long after its leaves would have gone bad. Nonetheless, the leaves are still quite lush and beautiful, and it never hurts to have a few of them handy for a pot of tea or a delicious mint chocolate dessert. Basil. Want to fight the bacteria and the microbes? Getting more basil in your diet may be just a ticket. Cultivating a basil plant indoors will also fill your home with those wonderful aromas that remind you of pesto. There are between 50 and 150 different species of basil. So make sure you are aiming for a cultivar of sweet basil. Though even within that category, there will be pronounced differences in flavor. Fenugreek. Fenugreek can help stimulate milk production in nursing mothers and is also generally good for reducing inflammation, which can mark the onset of several different life-threatening illnesses and conditions. This plant is perfect for indoor cultivation and is most commonly known for its use as a spice in traditional Indian dishes. Add either dried or fresh fenugreek leaves to your next curry to harness some of its health benefits. Rosemary. Besides making a scrumptious addition to a savory focaccia bread, rosemary also contains rosmaric acid, an antioxidant also thought to be antibacterial in nature. It grows easily both inside and outside, making it ideal for those who know they won't have a lot of time to tend to their plants. Many of the medicinal herbs and plants listed would also make wonderful additions to your culinary treats. So think about adding a little bit of your thriving indoor garden to some of your meals, too. They'll add healthy nutrients to your food while also adding some homegrown flavor. And from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Roses of Sharon, plant care and collection of varieties. An erect, deciduous shrub, Rose of Sharon produces colorful, cup-shaped flowers in summer and fall. Other common names include shrub althea and Chinese hibiscus. Rose of Sharon flowers in late summer to fall when few other shrubs are in bloom. Flower colors include blue, pink, red, lavender, purple, and white, depending on the variety. Most varieties grow 8 to 12 feet tall and 6 to 10 feet wide. The plant shows good pollution tolerance, making it appropriate for urban gardeners. Special features of Roses of Sharon: its easy care and low maintenance. Select a site with full sun to light shade and moist, well-drained soil. plant spring or fall, space plant 6 to 10 feet apart, dig a hole only as deep as the root ball and 2 to 3 times as wide. Amend the soil with a small amount of compost. Remove the plant from the container, set it in the hole, and fill the hole half full with soil, then water it well to settle the soil and eliminate air pockets. Let the water drain, then fill the remainder of hole with soil and water thoroughly. Apply a layer of compost under the tree each spring, spreading it out to the drip line. Add a 2-inch layer of mulch to retain moisture and control weeds. Water during summer if rainfall is less than 1 inch per week. Flowers are produced on new wood, so prune in early spring to shape and reduce size. Pruning the shrub back to 2 to 3 buds per branch in spring encourages larger flowers. Remove dead, diseased, and injured branches any time. For cheerful indoor blooms this winter, try Florist Cyclamen, a beautiful blooming houseplant. Florist Cyclamen are rapidly becoming a favorite houseplant, both for wintertime blooms and Valentine's Day celebrations. Their heart-shaped leaves and rose, red, and white flowers seem like the perfect gift for lovers tired of roses, although who tires of roses? If you love houseplants and are looking for a long-lived plant that blooms in the dull of winter, cyclamen fits the bill. Growing cyclamen as houseplants. There are 20 species in the genus cyclamen, but many are hardy outdoor perennials. Cyclamen persicum are the ones you see lining the benches of garden centers starting in the late fall, blooming with pretty, cheerful, and unflagging determination throughout the winter months. According to the Clemson University Cooperative Extension site, Florist cyclamen have been a favorite indoor plant since the early 17th century, when Western Europeans fell in love with this Mediterranean import. Since their introduction so many centuries ago, hybridizers have presented aficionados with new single, double, fringed, crested, and frilled flower forms. But the basic care instructions for all indoor cyclamen remain the same. Light requirements. Cyclamen prefer bright indirect light. A very bright east or west-facing window is best, or a southern exposure with a little bit of filter over the light, such as a curtain over the window, or the plant set a few feet from the window itself. Water. Cyclamen are fussy about their soil moisture, so you do need to pay attention to their water needs. The soil should be kept evenly moist, never drying out, but not so wet that water collects in the saucer under the pot. The fibrous tubers from which the plant grows are prone to rot, so water mature cyclamen plants near the rim of the pot, away from the tuber. Temperature. Cyclamen prefer daytime temperatures of approximately 60 to 65 degrees Fahrenheit, with evening temperatures slightly cooler. If temperatures consistently rise about 70 degrees, they may fail to develop buds or drop any existing buds. Because of these requirements, many homeowners find an east or west-facing bathroom window is an ideal place for cyclamen. The moist, humid air from steamy showers and baths seems to encourage strong growth, and the proximity to water faucets make it easy to keep the soil evenly moist. Kitchen windows can also be great places to enjoy your cyclamen. Encouraging cyclamen to bloom. It's smart to purchase cyclamen in bloom and with several newly formed buds. The existing blossoms provide definite identification of the plant's color, and the closed buds ensure a few more weeks of bloom before the plant enters dormancy. Cyclamen bloom for approximately 4 weeks and then remain dormant several weeks. This natural cycle mimics the cycle of wet and dry periods in the Mediterranean, where cyclamen flourish in the wild. Homeowners who are not used to the cyclamen's dormant period may panic when they see the plant's leaves begin to yellow, curl, and drop off, but this is all part of the plant's natural rejuvenation cycle. It's conserving energy to fuel the tuber for another year so it can put forth more beautiful blooms. Cyclamen can be tricky to get to bloom again, but a few simple practices should help. After the plant enters dormancy, place it in a shady spot for a few weeks. Keep the soil constantly moist, never allowing it to get too wet or too dry. After a few weeks of rest, move it back into the bright indirect light. Feed with a balanced liquid houseplant fertilizer such as 10-10-10 in a water solution once a week or every other week. With a little luck, you can coax your cyclamen into bloom again. Cyclamen are very hardy houseplants. Occasionally, you will find aphids, thrips, mealybugs, or spider mites have found your beloved cyclamen and have set up housekeeping. If this is the case, you can use insecticidal soap according to the package directions to clean your plant and remove the pest. It's a good idea whenever you bring home a new plant, keep it isolated from the rest of your houseplants until you're sure it's pest-free. All it takes is a few pests transported into your home to infest your entire plant collection. Many insects need proximity to new hosts, however, so by isolating your new acquisitions in a separate room, you can keep pests from moving from an infected plant to an uninfected one. According to the ASPCA, cyclamen is poisonous to both cats and dogs. Compounds called terpenoid saponins cause symptoms of toxicity, such as vomiting, diarrhea, and salivation. Most pets get into trouble by eating the tubers, so keep the entire plant away from your pets at all times. In case of ingestion, contact your pet's veterinarian for instructions and advice. Cyclamen for all seasons. With their beautiful speckled foliage, attractive flowers, and multiple flower forms, cyclamen are a great addition to your indoor garden this year. Try cyclamen as a gift for someone you love, or add a few to your houseplant collection. With a little TLC, you'll have a flourishing cyclamen many years to come. For cheerful indoor blooms this winter, try Florist Cyclamen, a beautiful blooming houseplant. And now from HGTV's Gardens e-newsletter. What's Your Birth Month Flower? By Lynn Coulter. Like gemstones, flowers can represent birthdays in each month of the year. Which one is yours? January, carnation. Spicy scented carnations like cinnamon red hot are the birth flowers for January. Different colors convey different meanings. White carnations symbolize pure love, while yellow means wish you were here, and pink says, you're unforgettable. Snowdrops, which indicate hope and beauty, are also flowers for this month. February, iris and violet. February birthdays are represented by violets or irises, flowers that suggest loyalty and faithfulness. The three upright petals of an iris bloom can indicate courage, faith, and wisdom, or friendship, hope, and compliments. Clarence is a tall, bearded iris with pale blue standards and violet blue falls. March, daffodil. Daffodils like love call, sometimes called jonquils or narcissus, are the birth flowers for March. Because they often bloom in early spring, they symbolize new birth, beginnings, happiness, and joy. April, daisy and sweet pea. Cheerful daisies, like Leucanthemum darling, represent April birthdays. While they often symbolize beauty, innocence, love, or purity, they can also mean, I'll never tell. Sweet peas are also birth flowers for April. May, lily of the valley. Lilies of the valley, with their sweet perfumes, celebrate May birthdays. They suggest humility and happiness. June, rose. Like carnations, roses, which represent June birthdays, have different meanings for different colors. Red roses signify love, while yellow ones indicate anything from jealousy to friendship. Orange or apricot roses, like Lady of Shalott, mean desire and enthusiasm. July, larkspur and water lily. While pink larkspurs can symbolize a fickle love, purple ones mean first love, and white indicates a happy spirit. These pretty flowers are linked to July birthdays. Water lilies, which stand for a pure and open heart, or majesty, also represent this month. August, glads. Remember me is the message of gladioli, birth flowers for August. The flowers can also mean strength and integrity, while the sword-shaped leaves suggest love-pierced hearts. In ancient times, glads were associated with magical powers. September, aster. Fall-blooming asters symbolize a strong and powerful love and are the birth flowers for September. They also indicate faith and wisdom. October, marigold. Marigolds, in their rich autumnal colors, symbolize undying love and represent October birthdays. These pungent-smelling flowers can also mean, I'm thinking of you, or indicate sadness and sympathy. November, mum. Chrysanthemums, plants especially prized by Japanese gardeners, stand for November birthdays. White mums signify innocence and purity, while yellow ones indicate that a loved one feels slighted. December, narcissus, holly, poinsettia. Several plants represent December birthdays, including narcissus, think forced bulbs. Hollies and poinsettias. Hollies show a desire for a happy home, while poinsettias stand for good cheer. Narcissus, like February gold, signify modesty and faithfulness. And from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Preventing Garden Diseases by Suzanne Dijon. Most garden diseases are caused by fungi. Microscopic relatives of the common garden mushroom, mature fungi release millions of spores that are carried on the wind or otherwise get transferred to our plants. And if the conditions suit them, the spores germinate and penetrate leaf tissue, creating spots, lesions, or other symptoms. Most fungi need moisture to germinate, so damp leaves are an open invitation. Some diseases are soil-borne and transported to foliage when raindrops splash soil onto plants. Preventing infection is the best way to control fungal diseases.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Out in the Garden on the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.